Okay, next ones, these ones sort of partly familiar already, total solids and total suspended solids. So you guys, when you were measuring the aerosols this week, you were looking at suspended solids. When we do it in a water, it then becomes called the total suspended solids. And this is then collected on a glass fiber filter, 1.2 microns. And all of those particles then that are sufficiently large will be trapped on the filter, and they are classed then as suspended solids. Anything that goes through then is dissolved material, and the combination of the total suspended solids and the dissolved material will sum to the total solids. So you guys will be doing total solids next week, and you'll be doing total suspended solids on your water samples. Now I think you guys should have a good read of your prac manual before you go there, because I have a feeling that you are to pick one water of your own selection, but I'm not dead certain on that, so definitely have a good read of your prac book before next week. Now, nutrients will often limit productivity. As I indicated in the BOD, you make sure that nutrients are not an issue. The only thing limiting is the organic matter. To determine the nutrients, total phosphorus, TP, and these are sort of some typical values that we might find here. So a typical value then in unpolluted water will be micrograms per litre. What we have to do is we have to break down the phosphorus that's present, and there are many different forms. So if we have a detergent that's got into water, then that detergent will need to be broken down from its polymeric structure into its monomeric structure. What's the typical monomer of phosphorus that we're going to find floating around in water? Phosphate, spot on, yeah. What's the regular name for phosphate? Orthophosphate, yeah? So remember that PO43-, yeah, that's phosphate. And the regular name for that is orthophosphate. We have to differentiate because we can start putting protons onto these things, okay, and then they become hydrogen phosphate, dihydrogen phosphate. So when it's got no hydrogens, it then becomes the orthophosphate anion. So what we want to analyze is the orthophosphate anion. We have to break everything down into that form. So we use an oxidizing digest. We plug it into an autoclave, which is a high pressure, high temperature apparatus. We break it all down, and then after that, we do a colorimetric analysis. Now, color is what we're going to be measuring in our pracs, so we do several of them. And we'll be looking at phosphorus in our prac, but we won't be doing our total phosphorus because we don't use an autoclave digest. When we go in town to look at their procedures, they'll be doing total phosphorus, total nitrogen, because they use an autoclave oxidative digest. More nitrogen because it tends to be more soluble, and we get a selection of organisms fixing nitrogen, whereas the phosphorus is coming out of our minerals. Another standard parameter measured is turbidity. So turbidity is simply the amount of light that we will scatter and reflect off particles in water. The units are strange ones. They're NTUs, which is a nephelometric turbidity unit. And this is coming from the piece of gear that's used, which is called a nephelometer. And it's indicating the cloudiness of the water. Now, this is important for biology because if you've got very little light getting through to the lower part of your water column, then anything that's wanting to do photosynthesis is out of luck. So these are standard parameters that you measure.